What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 554th episode of the Pokemon Podcast, part one. Technically, there'll be two versions of these episodes. We're splitting them. I'm your host, Steve. This is going to be slightly confusing. We'll explain everything. With me today is Bobby.
Hey, how's it going? It's not as late here. Actually, the core is still going here right now. I've got like 8 minutes left. Yeah, maybe I can get a shiny because I've gotten like no shinies this entire day. So
none.
Well, one.
We'll talk
one
about
shiny.
It.
But well, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Hannah also here.
Yep. First day of Hoenn Tour is also not quite over for me, but I didn't break my phone, didn't break myself on the ice today. That was my goal. So I'm good.
Oh, yeah. You guys got like snow.
Yes.
Okay, so this is if you're listening to this the moment it came out, you're probably like, oh, it's why did the episode come out on Sunday? That's because Pokemon Day is on Monday. So instead of giving you technically our episode should be 90 minutes long. I talk a lot. Ends up being 2 hours. So instead of giving you guys an episode of 90 minutes on Monday, which would be recorded on Sunday, we're recording on Saturday to give you an episode on Sunday. So we can talk about some stuff before Pokemon Day. And then the three of us are going to record another episode Monday evening for you guys to have as soon as I can get that edited. So either Monday very late at night or the first thing Tuesday morning of our Pokemon Day thoughts. So then you don't have to wait a full week for Pokemon Day thoughts. And then I didn't want to skip an episode on Monday because then you guys would be like, where's the episode? So you're getting an episode a day early to tell you that there will be no episode on Monday. It is now. You're listening to it in your ears on Sunday. And then you'll get another one probably on Tuesday. So I don't want to hear anything about it on Twitter. If you want to tweet at me, just tweet me nice things and said like, oh, I enjoyed the Sunday episode.
You might be making it more complicated than it actually is.
I'm not sure what day today is at this point. So
it's a special week for Pokemon Day. That's the short of it.
Sure. And if you're listening to this on Sunday, I'll be streaming my reaction to Pokemon Day. I'll also be streaming pretty much all day on Pokemon Day until we get to the evening where I'll stop streaming so we can record the podcast for Tuesday. There's a lot of content, and you probably know where to find it. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about the 7-star raid Pikachu, which got announced very quickly and then happened. And as of right now, we don't know if there's a second weekend like the other 7-star raids. And then we're going to be talking about the Hoenn global thingy that happened this weekend. So those are the two things we're going to try to tackle. There was some anime news. We'll see if we can get to it, but let's start off with the 7-star Pikachu. This was to celebrate Pokemon Day. This is the 4th 7-star raid. I did a bunch of raid builds like always. I built Pokemon assuming that Pikachu had Light Ball. It did. So the takeaway here is they can give raid bosses held items. That's good or bad, maybe.
And they can build them to be a whole lot stronger than you expect.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I predicted Pikachu would have Lightning Rod. I think that was pretty obvious because it was water type Terra. It seemed like the consensus was people were not excited because it wasn't like a Pokemon that didn't already exist. I don't want to use the word new Pokemon because there's nothing new about Charizard and there's nothing new about Cinderace. But a Pokemon.
Non-Paldea Dex.
Yes. Non-Paldea Dex Pokemon. And I think a lot of people also were just like, oh, Pikachu's easy because he's not a fully evolved Pokemon. But I think the whole takeaway from this conversation isn't to be like, thank goodness Iron Hands doesn't work because, well, people still brought Iron Hands anyways. Somebody didn't listen to Hop's dialogue. The ability was the one that stopped it. I think the takeaway, though, that I want to talk about is that for the first 3 7-star raids, they were pretty much the same mechanically. And what I mean by that is they had the same HP. They had shields. They had opportunities to reset your stats, to reset their stats, to shut off your ability for a turn. You could only catch one. It has the mightiest mark, which, you know, some people care about marks, some people don't. I care about marks a lot. But there was a lot of changes to this Pikachu under the hood, which is whether or not you did Pikachu, or like, you didn't care about marks, you didn't care about Pikachu. That's totally cool. But I think all the things they did under the hood make potential 7-star raids even more exciting. Oh, this is probably where I talk about what they changed.
Did
you guys do the Pikachu?
I did one. This week ended up being a little bit busier because we got more snow than this city has seen in a very long time. And so that kind of threw the latter half of my week off. And I ended up doing one Pikachu raid with people from Slack, with one of my Claude Sire from the Greninja raids. And worked out just fine. I got stuck in a menu for half of it. That didn't matter. They carried me.
Good old stuck in a menu. That I'm glad that one hasn't changed over the last
It's supposed to get better.
Three.
We'll see.
That's true. I was expecting that we would either get the patch, because they did put out patch notes, and I was like, oh, we should talk about the patch notes. I expected the patch to actually come this Thursday with a potential new raid boss, because they have done Thursday updates before. And there was no patch, so it's possible. I got stuck in a menu as well during one of my Pikachus. So they're running out of February. So I'm assuming the patch is on Monday, which at that point, we're recording a podcast on Monday night. It will be out on Tuesday morning.
Yep.
And we'll
don't need to do
we'll
this
talk
again.
About the patch.
Please.
The first thing is 7-star raid bosses are normally 30 times the amount of HP. So Charizard, Greninja, Cinderace, 30 times the amount of HP. And then 6-star raid bosses, I can't remember, they're like 20 times. And then 5-star raid bosses are like 10 times. So those are all been stagnant and the same. And as up to this point, 7-star raid bosses have always been 30 times the amount of health they normally have. My thought was like, well, if they were ever to release a legendary Pokemon like Rayquaza or Mewtwo, how could they make it harder if we already know what a 7-star raid can hold or contain? Like the rules of, I'm air quoting, the rules of a 7-star raid.
And instead of a legendary, they did it with Pikachu.
Yeah, so so the 7-star raids don't have set rules because Pikachu had 50 times the amount of HP. So there didn't need to be like a magical 8-star raid. They're just like, we can just change this. So again, if you didn't do Pikachu, no, that's not the takeaway here is they can change these numbers and flex it. The other thing that I think everyone noticed right away is Pikachu started with a shield instantly, which again, this was something I speculated in a month or two ago. I actually made a YouTube video about this because I wanted to teach people how the shield worked. I can't remember what that, I think the YouTube video is called like Behind the Scenes of a 7-star Raid or something. And I talked about how like it's important to learn the shield mechanic because if the shield starts earlier, or, I don't know, on turn zero, you now have to deal with it. And if you don't know how to deal with it, which I think was probably the biggest hurdle for a lot of trainers, they're like, why am I not doing a lot of damage? Like, what's happening here? Then that raid all of a sudden becomes hard. And there is a lot of novelty into, like, one-shotting a raid boss. But I think that wasn't so much a novelty for some people. That was, I don't want to deal with the raid shield. How can I do this without having the raid shield pop up? Because people didn't understand or want to deal with the raid shield. Because once the raid shield's up, it does become harder, right? Like, you can't taunt. You can't thunder wave. People were building Pokemon before Pikachu to be like, I want to skill swap the hidden ability off so then I can use electric Pokemon. Can't skill swap when a shield is up. So far, we got two things. Number one, they can put the shield wherever they want.
the shield was stronger, too.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So, held item, possible. Shield can go wherever it wants. More HP. And then the other thing is the shield was stronger but weaker at the same time, which was kind of weird. This might go through some people's ears and out the other. But I'll give you a too long didn't read. Again, this was in my video of like how to deal with the raid shield. So when you're attacking a Pokemon that has a shield up, your move is only doing 20% of the potential damage. So I'll make this really easy. You know, if you're using Earthquake, Earthquake does 100 damage. If a Pokemon shield is up, your Earthquake's only doing 20 damage, right? That's like a huge reduction of damage. And then if you Terastallize, we'll use Clodsire, for example. If you Terastallize and you use Trailblaze, Clodsire is not grass or poison. So it's not a stab. It's also not, so if you Terastallize ground, because we're going to use Earthquake still, and you use Trailblaze, you're only doing 35% of the potential damage. Trailblaze is really weak, though, so I'm not going to do the math on that. But if you Terastallize ground and use Earthquake, because Earthquake matches ground, you're going to do 75% of the potential damage. So instead of your Earthquake doing 20 against a shield, your Earthquake is doing 75 against a shield. So you're still not even doing the full potential of what Earthquake can do. Now, of course, same type attack bonus, all that stuff, you know, held items into play. But that's like the basics of the shield and how it works. Pikachu had a unique shield. So again, the takeaway here is raid bosses in the future, like if they decide to do a Mewtwo, could have a totally unique shield mechanic than a Cinderace or a Greninja. Pikachu, your base attacks did 1% damage to Pikachu's shield. So your Earthquake, instead of doing 20 damage out of 100, it did 1 damage. That was it. And you might have noticed this with like a Giga Drain or a Shell Bell, that you weren't getting any HP back, really.
It forces you to understand how the shield works.
Yes.
You're not going to get any headway otherwise.
So if you were using, we'll go back to Clodsire. If you ground Terra Clodsire and use Trailblaze, your Trailblaze is doing 70% of the potential damage. Now, earlier I said it was only doing 35. So they actually gave non-Terra matching moves a boost against the shield. I think what Game Freak was really doing was like, you need to Terastallize. You need to use the mechanic we invented to do some damage here. And then if you did match the Terra, so Clodsire, ground Terra, using Earthquake, you would actually do 120% of the normal damage. So you're actually doing more than what Earthquake can normally do. I don't know what 120 and 100 is. I don't know if that boosts it to 120 or if it's a little bit higher, but you're just doing more damage than what it would do. So that makes sense now why, if you brought a grass type Pokemon and you Terastallized grass and then you got it, you did 120% of what that damage was, plus super effective, plus stab. That's why grass type Pokemon completely melted Pikachu. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but water type Pokemon are weak to grass. I know, it's crazy.
Shocking news. Did not realize this. Wow.
So yeah, again, if you didn't find Pikachu to be exciting, I think the most exciting thing is they can give Pokemon held items, they can change the shield, they can change the health, they can make the shield activate or not activate. Pikachu never reset your stats. This was the first 7-star raid boss to never reset your stats. He did reset his stats. Yeah, it was also the first 7-star raid boss to not remove your ability for a turn, although probably wouldn't have mattered too much. And he was holding a held item, which knockoff did work. So if you were running a Meowscarada or a Wochen or a Toadskrill, those are the three grass type Pokemon I'm thinking off the top of my head, they all had knockoff. So that would remove the light ball, which makes Pikachu significantly weaker, obviously without the light ball. Again, I didn't think Pikachu was the most exciting raid boss, although I am a big Pikachu fan. Oh, there's one more thing about Pikachu. Holy cow. So the Charizard, Greninja, Cinderace, they were all male. Everyone got the same nature, right? So like Charizard was always modest. Greninja was always sassy. And then they had the mightiest of mark, right? For just a side note, I saw this all the time on Instagram or TikTok. They're like, I don't have a mark. You have to move it to your party. And then put, yeah. I think the update is supposed to fix that.
Yeah, the update's supposed to.
Hopefully.
But this Pikachu had a 1 in 16 chance of being a big Pikachu. It could have the Humongo mark. Pikachu literally made me put in my copy of Scarlet, run through the beginning of the game to then catch another Pikachu, because I learned it after I already caught a Pikachu. And I wanted a Mighty Mark Pikachu, but also a Humongo Mark Pikachu. I wanted both.
And you got it?
I got it. I got
good.
It.
Wait, is that actually the name of the mark?
Humongo, I think. Yeah, I think it's Humongo and Teensy.
Good word.
And then when it comes out, it'll say Pikachu the Great, I think is what the title is, which is really great on Great Tusk because it's Great Tusk the Great.
So wait. All right. Wait, how did you get the Pikachu with the Humongo mark? Because you wouldn't be able to figure that out until after you've finished the raid, right?
Yes, you have to turn off autosave. So the game will save when you connect to the internet. But if autosave is off, it doesn't save after the raid. So you catch the Pikachu, you talk to the girl by the flower garden. She'll be like, "This is the biggest I've ever seen." And then if she doesn't say that, you have to like turn it off, turn it back on. Classic Pokemon. You know, every Pokemon trainer knows this song and dance. Turn it off, turn it back on.
How many times did you have to do that?
I got lucky. It was my first one on my new account.
What? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah.
And
the odds are good.
Everyone, yeah, 1 in 16 is really good. Everyone in the raid would get the same Humongo mark. So if somebody...
Oh, that's helpful.
If I came back and I was like, oh, I got the Humongo mark, the person who was hosting it could then... keep hosting that over and over, technically.
Right, right.
What a week.
All about the marks. All about the marks.
And we'll see what comes next, whether it's more Pikachu or whether it's something else.
This podcast is brought to you by the Super Anime Podcast. That's super with three U's.
Yeah, the Super Anime Podcast, a weekly podcast that looks to entertain, inspire, and inform you about anime, a subject near and dear to my heart. It's a unique anime podcast where hosts Ed and Solo look at anime from a real-world perspective, listen to in over 150 countries, plus another thing that is near and dear to my heart. You can hear the occasional good or bad singing on the podcast. You all be the judge, but don't talk about my singing on this podcast because it was always impeccable.
I mean, they have heated debates on anime versus manga, if Pokemon is the greatest anime of all time.
How is that a debate?
Because it's just right. It's just I am sure. I haven't listened to that episode. That's the first on my list, though. I'm confident that Ed and Solo have decided that Pokemon is the greatest anime of all time, and it wasn't that One Piece show. They haven't even found the One Piece.
They haven't even found the One Piece, and they have found Pokemon. What more do you need?
That's true. They do a ton of general anime discussion. You know, best anime weapons. Sing in the best anime intros, top five interesting anime characters. I can name them right here. Pikachu, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Mewtwo, Chikorita. There you go.
I was with you till Chikorita. Now we're into it.
I'm sure Ed and Solo.
I'm going to argue that Totodile was way more interesting than Chikorita ever was. Totodile bit everybody.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Finally, they have had some incredible guests on their podcast, such as the singer of the Pokemon theme song, Jason Page, which we will have a link to in our show notes for you all to go and listen to if interested. Super Anime Podcast promises that you will love, laugh, and learn on their show.
Super Anime Podcast with three U's, SUUUPER Anime Podcast, can be found wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate.
If you think meal kits are too expensive, think again. Every Plate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping. With food prices at the grocery store going up, I can count on Every Plate to be a great value week after week. Every Plate's quality ingredients come pre-portioned to help you save money and reduce food waste. You know, like that bag of spinach you throw out every week. Get everything you need for the week delivered at the same time with sides, desserts, and ready-to-eat snacks to complement your weekly order. Try Vanilla Delight Cheesecake, Sweet Kale Salad, Garlic Bread, and Protein Bundles to take things up a notch.
All right, I have one thing before I ask Steve how your Every Plate's going. You know what's weird?
That I didn't know there was garlic bread in these dishes?
Yeah, because of course there's garlic bread.
Where did they get garlic bread?
Have you not been looking at the website? I've seen this. So here's the weird thing. I've been doing these ads for like, what, a year now?
Yeah.
You would think I would get mail from every plate to me.
Do you not?
My husband just got an every plate thing. And I'm like, I looked at it. I saw every plate. I was about to open it. And I went, well, that's not my name. Steve, how is your every plate?
They know your husband doesn't leave the house to go to the grocery store.
I know.
Store.
This is true. They don't know. They know that he stays at home. But they don't know that he refuses to cook. This is like the perfect fit for him. Like, they have done their market research because it probably should have gotten to him, not me. I just felt, I felt this urge to open it. And I'm like, well, this isn't my mail. How's your every plate journey going, Steve?
It's good. The first one I made was a chicken taco meal. And they had a bunch of different toppings. I'm very plain, though. So I would be curious, like, oh, I barely put anything on my tacos. The plain, pretty plain. I was a little adventurous. It was still incredibly good.
Still tacos.
Still tacos. Yeah, you still were like, this meal slaps. You can get started with every plate for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter the code supereffective149. That is everyplate.com/podcast, entering the code supereffective149. Well, speaking of Pikachu, they put two new hat Pikachus in the wild. One is a May hat Pikachu. The other is a Brennan hat Pikachu. How was your guys' day one Hoenn tour? Don't be too excited.
The best way to put it is, like, you got overwhelming, you got underwhelming. Like, I was whelmed. Like, it was fine. It, like, I didn't think it was awesome. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is so great. Like, Johto tour, Kanto tour were definitely better. Those also cost 12, 15 bucks or whatever. So there's that. I think Johto tour was $12 or like $11.99.
I think you're right. What was five? Five was like a GoFest.
The GoFest for the 50th.
Because Verizon or Google Play sponsored that GoFest.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So that was five. But I'm pretty, Johto tour was $11.99. I'm pretty confident. I don't remember what Kanto tour was. But this definitely played like a free event.
Yep.
It was free.
It was no, I know. Worse than a community day in some ways. There was no bonus. It was just go out and catch Pokemon. And also, if you want to take advantage of the Megas, you can spend a whole bunch of money on raids.
Yeah, so I say it was a free event. It was not free for me because I did about like 20 primal raids throughout the day. And none of them were with the premium passes. They were all remote because they were not there with other people. Yeah. So
people aren't around.
I like how people are considering premium passes free at this point because everyone just has like 40 in their bag and they're like, I'm trying to get rid of them. Like,
I definitely have 60 some odd premium passes in my bag from 3 years ago. But yeah, it was, again, it was fine. So it's raining right now. It hasn't rained all week, but of course today it's like it was pouring rain all day. So what I did do at one point was get in my car and find like where a Kecleon was on a stop, go to that stop, and then catch the Kecleon and then catch like anything around there, right? Because there's a lot of Pokemon would be spawning in those areas, and then go to the next Kecleon. And I did that for about 15 Kecleon. None of them were shiny, unfortunately.
Darn.
But that was okay. And then I just caught a bunch of Pokemon that were around wherever the Kecleon were. So Kecleon kind of like led my day today.
Honestly, that sounds like kind of a fun way to do it.
It worked out.
I already said that my city got more snow than we're used to, and that means the entire city is covered in ice. So the challenge for me was traversing and getting around and not falling. And so everything was kind of slow. I ended up with three shinies day one. I got a Feebas and a Brendan Hat Pikachu and a Cacnea. And those are the three that I got. And I am almost all the way through the research, and I got three out of four of the collection challenges done. So tomorrow I'm looking for a Slakoth, and I need to do a bunch of Kyogre raids. So ultimately, I felt like this was a good amount of content, but it didn't feel fun. There weren't bonuses going on. There weren't really things to aim for. But I do think one thing I noticed was that there were multiple new shinies with this event, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I think they probably heard everybody complaining last time, because they last time kind of released shinies all the way up to the Johto event, and there weren't any new shinies. There were barely any new shinies for the Johto
there were
event.
A couple, but yeah, very, very few in the Johto.
Yeah.
Johto tour.
And this one, there are at least some new shinies, so that's good.
So did you pick the Cacnea line?
I did.
Path? Okay, and then yep. Steve, what did you pick?
I went Gulpin.
You picked Gulpin and you got shiny Gulpin, right? And then
was it guaranteed though?
I don't think it was,
no.
But I picked
I don't think it was either.
And then
I think it's
the
boosted.
The first Surskit research reward was shiny for me. But it
nice.
Seems like that was it seems like that Pokemon when you chose that path had like a shiny of some mm-hmm. kind. Because I was seeing a lot of that today. Like see someone had Cacnea but nothing else, right? Someone had shiny Gulpin but nothing else.
Mm.
So I think there must have been some kind of boost there.
I'm kind of surprised it didn't break anything.
Yeah, I don't think I heard any issues for this event. No, that's not true. There were I did see people being like, hey, the game is broken. I can't figure out what these quests are. You know, the spooky cipher?
The spooky
you were complaining about the spooky cipher and not being able to like figure it like.
Someone asked me about it and asked what it was, and I said they tried to make it fun and failed.
Yeah, I took one look at that, said, nope, went online, looked it up.
Yeah.
What are these tasks?
It was. It's a little annoying because they replaced each letter with a black box, which meant that the spacing was off. So the spacing you would expect for each word was different than it would be, which made reading them harder.
Yeah. I think the ones that were more intuitive were the make three great throws and use berries, because it would pop up and then you would slowly figure it out. I guess if you're paying attention.
Yeah, if you're not walking, you can take a harder look.
Yeah, the only one that I struggled with when I was in Vegas was it ended up being transfer five Pokemon because I cleared my storage. So I wasn't planning on transferring anything until, I got back that night. So I kept getting them, and I was like, finally, I asked somebody, I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, transfer. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about transferring because I cleared my storage before the event. But like the make three great and use five berries, that was like, oh, because I've been doing that, right? Like, right. And then the evolved Nikata, I guess that one was like the easiest for me to like read. But
yeah,
I saw people being like, Niantic, fix your game. The tasks aren't coming in properly.
I thought it was like fair. That's happened before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't even give it a second. Like, as soon as I saw the task and then saw that it said like cipher, I was like, oh, okay. I'm not going to sit here and try to solve this puzzle, And then on top of that, with the great throws or whatever, every time I'm catching a Pokemon, it's saying like you've completed three tasks because it's completing the Jirachi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Catching 300 of each Pokemon or whatever, and then completing whatever other stuff. So I wasn't even taking the time to think like, oh, what three tasks are being completed on this catch? So I went straight to the internet and said, what are these tasks?
So I have two different experiences because I went to Vegas. I will disclose that Niantic did pay for my two-day ticket in Vegas. They did not pay for my flight or my hotel. That was all on me. They did not pay for any of my dinners at Gordon Ramsay's burger place. That place is very good.
Very good.
It was also probably the cheapest Gordon Ramsay place I think that exists because it's just hamburgers.
Because it's the burger spot. Yeah.
So yes, they did pay for my ticket. They also gave me a couple incubators and raid passes, which to be fair, I don't, the raid passes are just eating my storage because I can't get through raid passes. They weren't remote raid passes. They were premium. And I just have storage wasted at this point. But they did give me some.
They gave you. Oh, well, you were in Vegas, but it's like they gave you things and said, move around, go outside. Like, come on, Niantic.
So I had totally different experiences. Obviously, the shiny odds were much, much better in Vegas. But I will say today doing it, I mean, there are similarities between the Kanto and the Johto, right? Like, or at least other past events. The rotating every hour, I think, is still a good tactic. Or I think there is some pros and cons of having the event be exactly the same for 2 days, for 8 hours, 2 days. Like, for a free event, you know, you think of community day as like 3 hours only on Saturday. Oh, I'm working, I can't do it. So I think for a free event, 16 hours over the weekend, some people are going to do all 16 hours. Some people are going to do four. Some are going to do six, right? Like, I think those are still pros. I think they did a great job with starters. They weren't completely everywhere, littering the entire thing. What was that Johto tour where?
No, that was GoFest.
That was GoFest, yeah, where was there GoFest. Was sun and moon starters littered everywhere.
Starters that didn't make sense is because they can't be shiny.
Yep.
So I think they did a great job with the starters. They took Duskull, they put it behind one of the Cyphers, which was another community day shiny, which I thought was a good choice too. So at the other two GoFest, they put Corsola, you know, Kangaskhan, Farfetch, all that stuff in raids. And they didn't do it here, and they put it in eggs. And I don't know. I think that's 50-50, because, like, if they put them in raids, then you have to spend the money either way, right? But, like, if they put them in raids, and your town only has two raids, and you want Kyogre and Groudon more, and they keep spawning a Tropius there.
Yeah, this is a pretty raid-heavy event, if you care about the primals.
And people, yeah. we know people do, though, like Kyogre, Groudon, and Rayquaza are like the three, some of the, like, by far, like, probably what, top 10 all-time popular, like, Rayquaza probably number two behind Mewtwo?
Yeah, I would, yes. And at Groudon, this point, Kyogre yeah. are up there as well.
Yeah, like, I Kyogre's mean, best yeah. water legend all-time currently, right? And then Groudon best
primal, yeah.
ground.
Yeah. No, it's great. They're great, and I think the way they did it with putting Deoxys in the 5-star raid, like the four different forms of Deoxys in 5-star raids, and then doing the primal raids for Groudon and Kyogre, and then just completely forgetting about the Regis. Like, they don't even exist.
But I think that was a good call, though. I think
We do. Yeah. But it's just like, they don't exist in Hoenn anymore, apparently.
I mean, they did the Regis to the lead up.
Yeah, they did a bunch of lead up.
They did. You had to get the code or whatever to get the limited, the timed research, though, right?
Well, everyone, you guys got the Regis from the code, right? From last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
from
didn't,
the code.
Yeah, so you didn't need a ticket either.
No. But, I mean, they didn't just give, they made you do the work of, well, on iOS, they made you do the work of, like, going to the website, logging in, putting in the three codes
yeah.
to get the Regis, and then that was the only mention of the Regis throughout this whole week.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer, too, because, like, in person, they had the Regi rocks. I took a picture and posted it on. I took a picture, I think, of Regi Rock and posted it on Instagram. Like, they put the rocks in the desert, and then behind the Regi symbol was the code.
Oh.
And so, like, the concept was like, when you're at GoFest, it was, or not GoFest, the Hoenn Tour, it was like supposed to be a discovery and a surprise. And somehow, I don't know, somebody on Twitter was like, oh, here are all three codes at like 4 a.m, like before the event even started. And then everyone just redeemed it before the event. But, like, I feel like there are moments where Niantic, can I detour real quick? The detour I want to do real quick is there's this messaging that has been going around that Niantic hates Pokemon Go and they're actively trying to kill the game. Or, like, Niantic doesn't like Pokemon Go, or they're always trying to screw over the fans or whatever. And I just don't understand that logic. It reminds me of when, like, the national deck stuff happened with Sword and Shield, and people were just like, Masuda hates Pokemon. It's like, what basis? Uh-huh. First off, Masuda wasn't there are higher up people than Masuda. Like, if we're gonna blame anyone, we should probably blame Ishihara, right? Like, but I felt like all week is like Niantic hates Pokemon Go players. Niantic hates Pokemon, and Niantic makes other games, right? They make the NBA game now. They make Pikmin. They make Ingress still. What's the game with the weird creatures that hasn't come out yet? Peridot, I think.
Yep.
And again, very similar messaging to back then. We're like, oh, Game Freak only cares about like Little Town Hero. They don't care about Pokemon. It's like Niantic only cares about Peridot. They don't care about Pokemon. I don't understand this logic. What I can say in a personal experience is I talked to a lot of people at Niantic. I've met the woman who made the Mega mega Pokemon changes, mega evolution changes. I met her in St. Louis. I met her again in Seattle. It was very clear to me that she was so excited to work on the mega changes, make it happen. She was excited that it was well received. She said she was working on something else very exciting for Pokemon. Every single person I've talked to at Niantic loves this game. I'm friends with a bunch of them. They're sending me remote in. They love remote raids because they're sending me remote raids all the time. Like, they're remote raiding. They're level 50. They're flexing their shinies. Like, I have probably talked to 30 different Niantic employees. I can say only one of them I talked to, who doesn't even work there anymore, didn't really care about Pokemon. They were like, yeah, I'm just here because, like, friend referred. I thought it was a good opportunity. I'm not a huge Pokemon guy. Seems cool, but, like, not my thing. Like, the other 29 people I've talked to absolutely love Pokemon. And when I look at, like, that Reggie thing of, like, the Reggie rocks and, like, the code behind it, like, that is very Gen 3. That is very, like, we want to try to make something that encaptures what the Reggies were in Gen 3. So putting, like, these Reggie rock, no pun intended, rocks in the desert with codes behind it for trainers to discover is, like, a really cool thing. There are so many passionate people that work at Niantic now that care about Pokemon. Now, that's not to say that I am sure there are higher ups at Niantic who make these decisions that are like, how can we nickel and dime our players? How can we get as much money from this event? What are you doing to, like, I am sure those higher ups exist because they exist at every company, but all the people I've worked with and all I've talked to, they love this game. So the messaging of, like, Niantic hates Pokemon, they're trying to kill it off, they're trying to destroy their player base, I don't think that's true at all. I also, like, when I talked to one of the community managers, I was like, hey, I don't know who worked on the big and small Pokemon, but I love the big and small Pokemon. And they were like, I'll give them that feedback because they worked on it for a full year and that was, like, their baby and they absolutely wanted to make sure this happened in Pokemon. I don't know anyone who hates a game that wants to spend a passion project on, like, I really want big and small Pokemon in this video game. And they were able to do it, and it works great, and I still like it. I know not everyone likes it, but, like, I'm very into the big and small Pokemon.
Oh, I agree. I'm very much into the big and small Pokemon, too. I hatched an extra, extra large Hapini the other day, and it was really exciting because it doesn't tell you when you hatch it, or I didn't see it. And then I was going through transferring stuff, and it was like, you're transferring a double XL Pokemon. What? And I looked, and I leave out, and I look, and I was like, Hapini? It's a giant Hapini. It's great.
Yeah, giant baby Pokemon.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think for a free event, you guys were right. Like, it felt very mid. It didn't feel like the worst event they've ever done. And it didn't feel like the best, nor near the best event they've ever done. But there was also no price tag to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I will say, for as far as free events go, The one that they always do really well is the Halloween event, right? People love the Halloween event. It's like a week long event, but there's no cost. Maybe there was, like, a limited research or something last time, but for the last few years, there's not been anything, and they've done that really well. As far as, like, a 2-day event, I guess I could only think of, like, an Eevee community day or, like, the end of the year community day, the December community day, where it's 2 days long.
Twinkling Fantasy was probably the thing that stands out to me. That whole week was fantastic.
Right.
Oh,
That was earlier this year, right?
Oh, really? I think.
It was recent.
It was in January, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. But I feel like this one was, yeah, it was fine. Like, I enjoyed playing today, and I will play tomorrow as well. I do wish that with how little energy you get from those primal raids, like, with especially Kyogre, if you're getting Kyogre and you're getting it down to the wire, which happens a lot because it's not that easy to get, like, 10 or 12 people in a raid, and Kyogre is definitely tougher to knock out. You're getting somewhere between 60 and 70 primal energy, and you need 400. And if you chose the Groudon or the Ruby badge, which I did, I look at the end of today and you get both
energy from the special research.
No, you only get the 200 from your
You like, get candy for both.
Yeah.
Oh,
you don't get the energy for both.
Got it. So you get candy for both, but you don't get
energy for Groudon. So at the end of my first day with Groudon and Kyogre, I have a little over 1,000 energy with Groudon and then only like almost 500 with Kyogre. And I did a similar amount of raids with both of them. Mm-hmm. But because
it's still a bunch of raids, yeah.
Because Groudon is able to be taken down so much easier, you're getting 80, 90, 100 energy per Groudon raid, but only 60 or 70 energy per Kyogre raid. So anyways, the point is like with all of that, it would have been kind of nice for them to maybe say, you know, here's 5 free passes. Like,
people would have complained they weren't remote.
They would have been like, well, what I mean, yeah, people are going to complain no matter what, but it was kind of interesting that it was, I don't think there were any passes. I know there were 2 premium passes that I got at some point, but I don't remember which part of what.
I believe that was. Oh, I don't. I remember them giving us premium passes for Rayquaza messing up in Vegas, but I don't know if that went out to everyone.
There were 2 premium passes for one of the things today, for something that I completed today.
Oh, here I have the thing here. So,
maybe it was one of the collection challenges.
No, you do get 2. So the free thing that you get, the special research, is your step one is to power up Pokemon.
Yes.
And you get 3 free incenses, and then you choose Gulpin, Surskit, Cacnea. And I think everyone agrees that one of those is probably increased shiny. And then for the next task, you have to use an incense, catch 5 of what you picked, catch 10 different species. Then you get 2 free raid passes, the premium ones. Okay. And then step 3 is, this is where I was confused, because you do get awarded Groudon energy first, but only if you have the Ruby badge. But you do still get 10 Groudon candy for both. And then you get the Plusle, Solrock, Trapinch, Volbeat. And then step 4, if you pick Team Sapphire, then you get the 200 Sapphire energy. You get mine in Lunatone, Whalmer, Illumise. And then everyone gets the 10 Kyogre candy. You have to activate Primal Reversion, which gives you 2 TMs. That's kind of a bad reward. And then the final reward is Spinda, which is kind of a bummer for you guys that you only got 1 Spinda encounter in Vegas. There was like 8 Spinda encounters, which was pretty cool. The way they did Spinda in Vegas was awesome. If you don't know, they took 8 stops out of the whole park, and they were Spinda stops. So when you spun them, then you could redeem Spinda, and so you had 8 chances for shiny Spinda, or just 8 Spinda encounters, and that worked both days, so 16 total.
Nice.
Was it different for, was each one of the stops?
I think there was 2 forms. There was just the spots on the cheeks, and then there was goatee one.
Okay.
I don't know what numbers those are. I'm sorry.
I wish that's how they listed them in the game. The spots on the cheeks
and goatee.
So with those steps that you were talking about, right? So you have you get 200 energy for, let's say, Groudon. They give you 2 premium raid passes. So if you were to get, you do really well on Groudon with those 2 passes, that would give you 100 each. So you get 400. You'd have 200 from that. You get 200 from the research. So now you have 400. So you can do the primal reverse. So you're not spending any money at that point, right? And that's in the best case scenario. You do 2 of them. You do the best time, and then there it is. Then nothing happens with Kyogre at that point, right? This is only Groudon that you've now done.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like for all the marketing that they did leading up to this, with like the primal, like all the, every time you go to the Pokemon Go Live website, you just see primal Kyogre and Groudon on the front page and everything, and then you get to the event and it's like, oh, they're there, but you gotta
work
some
for
money
it.
You gotta really work for it for them.
Yep. They are strong Pokemon. Like Steve said earlier, they are some of the strongest Pokemon in the game. They are legendaries that are, they're primal, they're not mega. Effectively, they're megas. They're like super megas.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but it also does cost if you don't have an in-person group, which is unfortunate.
But
I kind of get it.
If you power up a Pokemon 15 times, you're getting 2 free raid passes. You're getting your free daily.
Your daily.
3 raid passes, even if you're doing, you would have to do 70, 70, 70. 60 is the lowest, 90 is the highest. 60
is the lowest. I think 100 is the highest because I've gotten 100. I got 100 Groudon energy in a couple different raids.
Okay.
But
so you're,
60
you're,
is the
ideally
lowest.
You're doing 3 to 4 raids plus your 200 energy to get one ultimately free primal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if like Niantic is like, again, probably somebody higher up was like, I know what the conversation is probably like. How do we get more people to play this event from last event, right? Like, that's like, you don't have to work at Niantic to know that that's like the standard like business conversation. How do we get more people to play our video game, right? So I wonder if the logic's like, well, instead of selling a $5 ticket, what if we make it free? And then naturally, more players would be incentivized to buy raid passes or incubators because they're out here for free with their friends versus, well, I don't want to spend the $5 because I don't know what I'm going to get. So I'm not going to come out with my friends.
I'm sure they have that data.
Like, oh, I'm sure they know if this is like if we
years, right, like they've captured all of that data to know. They know there's people like, I'm assuming you did this too, Steve. Like, you probably bought incubators and raid passes. So I did that for sure, right? So they know there's people that will do those. So I got 2 10K eggs today, by the way. 2.
Really?
And then it was raining, so I wasn't walking around a whole lot. So they're still incubating. So
every single stop I spun when I had an egg slot, every single one was a 10K egg.
Yeah, I got
incredibly lucky.
All day, I played 6 hours, and I was up MOA, so I was hatching eggs nonstop. I maybe got like 3 2Ks, like 5 5Ks, and like 20 to 30 10Ks. Like, it was really drastically.
Wait, when was this?
Today? Today.
How would you hatch them so fast?
I still have the reason I hatch them so fast is because I have the makeup egg bonus from when they messed up in
Vegas.
Okay,
I was wondering if you had that.
Yeah.
You have it weighted so that you're supposed to get more 10K eggs then.
Yeah, that's why I was when Hannah said that she got a bunch of 10K eggs.
I was like, not in Vegas.
Like, everyone else near me was also getting 10K eggs pretty regularly.
Really? I had an empty bag or empty egg spaces. So 9 spots, and then I went and spun 9 stops, and I got 3 2Ks. Like, I don't know. I ended up only...
Did you spin before 10?
Spots, only
you
2
waited
of them
until after 10, right?
Yeah, it was in the middle of the day. Oh. It was like this afternoon. And only 2 of them were 10K eggs, and the rest of them were 2 and 5K eggs. So...
That's really unlucky.
It's really unlucky, and it's a bummer to spend all the money on incubators, because obviously I had to incubate and hatch all the eggs that I already had in my bag. And then I was thinking, oh, I'll get some 10K eggs. And honestly, like, part of it's on me, right? It was raining today, so I wasn't out walking around as much. So, like, that's why they're not hatched yet. But still,
yeah, you can blame Niantic, though. You can blame Niantic for the rain. It's fine.
Yeah. Must have been them. But it was just that was a little bit of a bummer to see, like, oh, I thought it would be more, like, not guaranteed 10K eggs, because it's already guaranteed that it's going to be those 10K eggs are going to be one of the 3 regionals, and maybe they're shining, maybe not, whatever. But I thought there would have been a little bit more of a higher drop rate. And again, I only did 9, right? I only did 9 spins for eggs, so could have just gotten unlucky. But I feel like I was seeing people in Slack today, and they were a little bit disappointed at the lack of 10K eggs that they were getting.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like hardcore going for shinies, there's nothing exciting about hatching 5 Relicants in a row.
If you don't have a Relicant.
No,
I
the
mean,
first
there are
one
a lot
is,
of people.
The first one is very exciting. But when you have 5 10K eggs and you're like, oh man, what am I getting? And it's like, oh, they're all Relicant though. Okay.
Then you can trade them to people. I still have 40 Relicant from Worlds 2019 that I'm kind of glad they're rare this event, because I think I can still trade them to people.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing too, right? Like, so again, people were like, well, they put regionals in raids last time. And I understand, like, I just want to spend the dollar to get the Relicanth in the raid, and then that's the last one I need. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, like I said earlier, then all of a sudden it's like, man, I wish there was more Groudons. It's like, well, you have 3 raids in your city. They all ended up being Relicanth. Like, what do you, like, you can't have it. There's just so much raid stuff happening. But the other thing is, like, if somebody's hatching a Relicanth, just trade them for it. But then again, that would require you to be social and have friends. And, like, that's what Niantic wants, right? Like, it's such, like, this push and pull of, like, people being like, well, my local community is dead, so we only remote raid pass. And it's like, well, how do you expect the local community to get better if you're all just sitting at home remote raid passing? Like, like Niantic's doing things, and I for the record, I don't think they're doing things perfectly. I think they could do a lot more things to get people outside. But like there are options. Trading is still a thing. Like,
yeah, it is, but it goes back to, and I don't know, maybe this doesn't really fall under that as heavily, but it goes back to, you want to get people outside, make going outside better, but don't take away what you already gave over the last couple of years. And they've done that mm-hmm. in a couple ways. But mostly it's like, don't take that stuff back, because clearly it's worked in a way that maybe nobody thought it was going to work. Like, I will say, maybe the local community you have is dead, but there's now a global community that didn't exist before, right? That now it's like, oh, like, well, I can raid with people in Germany, and you know, I can raid with people in Australia, whatever. That's fun, especially if you, in an online world, if you are friends with people that are in other countries, it's fun to be able to be invited to those raids, and then you know you're raiding with that friend that you have in another country. So you want us to also go outside and do those things, which I fully agree with. I do love going out and playing, walking around and playing Pokemon Go outside, but don't take away the things you gave us, because you kind of created a new community for people to have. Don't take that stuff away. Just make the rewards of going outside better.
I think the raids this weekend were guaranteed one XL rare candy.
Mm-hmm. One extra XL.
Good, I guess, for some people, but like I think that's good for the hardcore people that will be looking for that anyways. I don't think that's good enough for, you know, somebody who only plays community days, right? Like, those people exist. They're like, and that's a fair way to play this game. The people who like, hey, I play Pokemon Go once a week, I'll play all 3 hours on community day, but you know, I'm not, you know, they're not going out every Tuesday night, every Wednesday night, they're not like going for shundos or whatever, right? Like, I don't think one guaranteed XL rare candy, that's the word, XL rare candy, is like good enough to get people to go outside. I don't know what is. Like, I don't
know. No, I mean, I don't either. And I'm not a Niantic employee. I'm not the one that's going to be making those decisions. But they absolutely could make rewards for doing things in person that don't take away from people who aren't, but do incentivize people to go out and do things in person again.
Exactly. They need to incentivize the behavior they want instead of trying to make things more expensive than they already are, because that's just going to make people angry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to wrap up, I think the event's fine. I will have to do another episode about the Vegas stuff, because there was a lot happening there. Both good and bad. There were a lot of things that Niantic did right at that event, and of course, I think a lot of people heard about the things that went wrong at that event, but there was a lot of things that went right at that event. So, and the reason I do still think it's important to talk about that is because it was the first event of the year. And now that, you know, that Niantic loves in-person events. So, I suspect there will be more to come this year and the following year. And I would wager to bet they're probably going to do a Sinnoh tour at the same time next year, because the Johto, Kanto, and Hoenn tours have all lined up around this weekend pretty much every single year. It's always like the weekend before Pokemon Day, I think.
Yeah, I was checking how many shinies I got last year for the Johto tour, right? You know, in Pokemon, in the storage, you can search for age. So the word age and then a number, right? So age 0 will show you everything you caught today. Age 1, everything you caught yesterday. Age 365 would show you everything you caught 365 days ago. And it was right around there. It was like 364, 263 was for the stuff I caught in the Johto tour. So it's like right around exactly a year.
Did you just go day by day and try to?
No, I did 365 and then I did 364 and 363 and it hit at one point. I wasn't going to I was like, I could just go look online at what date it was. Yeah. But I was like, I'm already in the storage. Let's just try it.
Yeah, I would suspect the Sinnoh tour this exactly in a year from now, like slightly before or slightly after Pokemon. It makes sense too, because it's near Pokemon Day, so it makes sense for them to do that. But I would wager to bet that they want to continue doing in-person stuff, and I wonder if this is like the future of this game for now is if you want the good stuff, here's the in-person thing. And if for everyone else, it's free.
That's exactly what it seems like. It seems mm-hmm. like the in-person thing was, you know, they didn't have that last year, the year before. So charge everybody. And then now you get a little bit more stuff. And now it's back to quote unquote normal. Yeah. So, you know, you can either go to that in-person event and get the cool stuff and I wonder if that's going to be how GoFest works this year.
Oh, well. I think so, like, too. I think
so. We're going to see something similar where maybe, and I mean, we don't know anything yet, but like maybe it's not increased shiny if for the global one again, or, you know, something like that, because you go to those in-person events where that was, you know, initially supposed to be where you're getting those increased shiny right. rates and regional Pokemon, right? Not so much the global stuff.
It almost reminds me of like those big like EDM shows where it's like you can spend the $300 to go to the EDM show, or you could spend like the $50 to get like the virtual version and like watch it through your computer because like you can't be there. It kind of reminds me of that, except Niantic's like, come to Vegas, or here's the free version next weekend. You can't complain because it's free. We're not charging you. Well, I mean, they're charging you of like trying to sucker you into the mega energy, or the primal energy, I should say.
They absolutely did. And I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll get the rest of that Kyogre energy. I'm saying this now, and I know I'm going to be spending more money tomorrow.
And I'll do it again.
But again, like you said, this event was fine. Like, again, it was fun to go out, run, walk around, catch some Pokemon, like Hoenn Pokemon. Obviously, it would have been nice if there was an increased shiny chance of some kind, but
again, I think there was for certain event. Pokemon.
I really think the Surskit, Cacnea, and Gulpin, whichever path you picked, I think, I don't even mean just the ones right afterwards. I mean, I think Surskit and like whatever, if I pick Surskit, I think there was a boosted rate for the rest of the day.
Yes, I think there was that. And I think there might have been a boosted rate of shinies for Pikachus and unknown maybe on
Usually
incense.
Unknown's not boosted.
Okay. Maybe just Pikachus. I don't know.
I only ended up with two shinies today. It was at the very least
the different paths you choose. Yeah, that one seems to be boosted.
Definitely. Had to be.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Tuesday morning with our thoughts on Pokemon Day. I keep saying Tuesday. The 28th. February 28th will be the second part of this podcast on Pokemon Day. And we'll recap all of that. And then there will probably be a bonus episode either this week or next week with Vegas thoughts and whatnot. And maybe if something magical happens Sunday for this Hoenn event. I don't think so. I think it's going to be the same thing. But I don't know. Maybe something breaks and Niantic's like, here's a free Rayquaza to everyone. Who knows? But thank you for listening. Hannah, thanks for being here. Bobby, thanks for being here. Happy Pokemon Day if you're listening to this. And if I'm sure there'll be stuff up on YouTube, if you're listening to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you know, leave a rating. That's always helpful, too. Otherwise, we'll see you guys in like 2 days. Happy Pokemon Day. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Got nothing to say other than happy Pokemon Day. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.